The Guardian.
Welcome to the Guardian Books podcast. In this edition, we talk to novelist, librettist and broadcaster Philip Hensher. Hensher's latest book, The Northern Clemency, recreates 1970s and 80s Sheffield in rich detail and mixes very personal and political tensions. The Guardian's Safraz Manzor began by asking Hensher about the process of writing such an ambitious state-of-the-nation novel.
Why do you think the state-of-the-nation book, the book which sort of traverses decades and tries to cover politics and human characteristics and has a large scope and a large canvas on which it paints, why do you think that there's been a spate of them recently?
I think it's to do with the point in the political cycle that we've reached, really. And if you look back at the last time a government was really reaching the Labour government was reaching the fag end of what it had to do, the end of the 1970s, there's a similar spate of State of the Nation books. There's A.S. Byatt's Virgin in the Garden, there's Margaret Drabble's book about the property market, all sorts of things. I think there's an awareness that we're at the end of some kind of cycle, whether it's the smaller cycle of the Labour government or the larger one or of the Thatcher settlement. I don't really know. I think those things are bearing down very much on novelists at the moment. I think also there's just a sense of coincidence. For me, when I suddenly realised that I was getting towards my mid-40s, I'd seen things pass. I knew that there was such a thing as the past now, and I wanted to write about 20 or 30 years ago. And that's obviously a very, very tempting thing for novelists, particularly as they're getting towards their mid-40s, they've written a few books, they feel as though they can take on a big subject. These things, you know, there's always a little point in the history of the nation, a little point in the subject of a history of the nation that a novelist can make his own, really. I was really amazed when I started writing The Northern Clemency to how few novelists had really taken on that sort of lower middle class, respectable, suburban life in the 1970s that seemed so full of life to me, because it was where I came from.
And how much of that is your life?
Bits and pieces.
Because one of the characters moves from London to Sheffield, and you did as well.
Yeah, I mean, the outlines of the story are basically what happened to my family, I guess.
Are novelists nervous about admitting that there are autobiographical aspects? Do they think that somehow that diminishes the work in some way?
Well, a novel is always going to be autobiographical in some degree, in the sense that you can't write about things that you can't link to something in your own experience. Sometimes you like to put your experience in the context of the setting that you yourself walked through, really. For me, there was a definite challenge in dealing with my own experience, the cities that I lived in. I felt really only at this point, when I'd written however many, five novels, had I really got the technical command, really, to deal with that experience directly. I don't think it's of great interest to a reader to discover what exactly in the book happened to me and my family and what didn't. Some things absolutely didn't happen. Some things are very, very close. Of course, most of the things that are very, very close to my experience are the very kind of trivial things, things like the playground experiences that the book goes into a great deal, which I don't think you could really imagine if you hadn't lived through it.
How do you go about, because in a way, trying to sort of render the past, you can do it sort of in a I love the 70s, I love the 80s kind of way, just checklist of what songs are around and what people are wearing, and it can become a little bit pastiche. How do you go about trying to render the recent past in a way that's more authentic?
It's a challenge, because it really does feel like stepping across a wall, and the atmosphere is different, the smells are different, the food is different, what people are wearing is different, but not in a way that is easily recuperable from through research or through examining the artifacts that happen to have hung around from that time. The only thing that you can do, really, is just sit down and in a meditative spirit just try and summon up what people actually ate and wore and how they talked, above all. I always find it absolutely incredible when I read most novels set in the 1970s that people pay so little attention to the way that people expressed themselves.
And how do you enter into that meditative state?
It's a difficult one. It took me a long, long time to get to the starting point of this book, and it took me a long, long time to write the first 100 pages. But towards the end, I was really almost in a kind of life, not life on Mars. That's the wrong thing. But I was in a sort of parallel existence.
Life in
70s Sheffield, exactly that. And trying to remember what the whole texture of life was. The decision I made at the very beginning of the book was that there was going to be no pop music in it, because I felt very strongly that that was a very easy, nostalgia-laden route back into it. And people didn't necessarily all dash out and buy the new Sex Pistols single in 1977. Middle-aged people, old people, they certainly didn't. And I didn't want to prioritise the experience of a particular group of young, radical, trendy people over what I thought was equally valid and equally interesting, the life of suburban, middle-class, ordinary people.
Well, you say that there isn't much pop music, and some people have said that there isn't enough politics in there either.
I think there's an enormous amount of politics. I think it's constantly political. I think what some people have thought was that it was, in a way, inadvertently a Thatcherite sort of book. Actually, I thought about the politics of this book a lot. What they meant, I think, is that it didn't argue the left-wing case. And I wanted, for once, to do justice to some of those minor liberalisations that that Thatcherism brought about, the way in which people suddenly had a bit more money, they could they weren't restricted in those petty ways of not being able to take money abroad, the ways in which that government actually did change people's lives in small ways. I think that's enormously political. I think there's also a strong suggestion, as the book goes on, that those freedoms were bought at quite a high price for the whole infrastructure of industrial life in the north. But it's not really for me to put a political interpretation on it.
Most people's lives, most ordinary people's lives, are not actually fixed and focused on politics most of the time. The characters that you're discussing and you're writing about, politics has to touch their lives, but what would you say was the preoccupations, and how do those change over those two decades?
Well, my starting point was really to evoke the texture of life, the domestic texture of life, to focus on small events, to focus on the small details, the miniature features of people's lives, and to extrapolate a sort of political implication from those, really. The ways in which people's decisions about what to wear, where they live, whether they own their house or not, what their ambitions are. That tells you an enormous amount about not only the sort of nation that they're living in, but the sort of decisions that they feel free to make. And so by focusing on those sort of small details, the novel led me into some relatively uncomfortable places. It led me into places where my personal political ideology didn't feel as though it was being anything but disproved. I felt as though I was disagreeing with the logic of my book,
or
wanted to argue
with it.
Crisis of faith. Yeah, but I don't think it changed my mind. I mean, I wouldn't vote in any different way because of that. But it certainly was the driving mechanism behind the book was really those small domestic truths.
It's a vast, sprawling book.
I hope not sprawling.
Sprawling? Okay. Vast? Ambitious?
Yes. Vast, I agree. Vast, I accept, but sprawling, I hope it's not that.
Okay. Anyway. It's a big book. Does that, in terms of thinking about the next one, is there a tendency to want to sort of do something brisk and with a different tone, or does it feel like once you've explored something in such detail, you want to get stuck back into something else off that similar scale?
Well, I think the next one is going to be a tight one and tightly controlled one. I also want to get back to something which I don't feel that I've finished with, which is the whole question of Orientalism and if there's anything left in the Orientalist style. The next two novels, they're going to be on Indian subjects. So they're going to be very, very different from this, and they're not going to be on the same scale at all, I hope. But I didn't think this was going to be on a big scale. It turned out to be three times as long as the novel I signed a contract for.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.